Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Signals from the Deep, the official podcast of your Seattle Kraken. Thank you for intercepting our signal. This is Piper Shaw, joined by JT Brown.
Oh, my bad. Oh. I thought you were looking to me to say my own name, but you did it. You did it pretty good there. Nice intro.
First question, what's your name?
JT.
Okay, great.
Last name Brown.
I'm glad that we've established that. We have so much to dig into, everybody, because this podcast is the first podcast of the regular season. We have an opening night roster, and we have lots to get through. But we had the opportunity to sit down with the Kraken's new bench boss, Lane Lambert. And so we want to kick this one off with letting you guys hear from him, because I thought that was a great conversation. All right, here he is, Lane Lambert. Well, Kraken fans, we are very excited to have the opportunity here to introduce you all in Signals from the Deep fashion to the Kraken's new head coach, Lane Lambert. Lane, thank you very much for doing this and for joining us. How are you?
Good. Yeah, doing well. Just grinding through first month of the training camp and the start of the season, and things are going well.
So I wanted to start just by asking you a little bit about your coaching philosophy in general and kind of your approach when it comes to helping establish an identity in the group and what goes into that.
Yeah, the philosophy really is it's team first mentality. I believe everybody on the team has a role to play, has to be given a role to play, and every role and every player is important. And you establish a belief within the group, and there's an accountability level that it has to be lived up to, and everybody's responsible for doing that. And yes, we hold them accountable as coaches, but certainly they have to hold each other accountable as players as well.
When you kind of stepped into this environment and into the team, what are the first things, the first steps that you're taking when it comes to establishing that? And kind of, I know you've talked a lot about, setting better habits and things like that. What do you start with?
Well, I think that's a great point. It's about habits. It's about, understanding what is expected from you every day. What is expected when you come to the rink every day? And as a coaching staff, we have to make sure that we're very well organized in that aspect, so that things, go along smoothly, but players understand exactly what's expected of them. And, with the 100% goal of getting better every day, there's a way to get better every day and a way to improve, whether that be to review what we've already talked about, whether it be to correct things that we maybe haven't done properly, or whether it be to reinforce things that we've done well. Those are the things that are really important when you come to the rink every day.
Do you see any challenges, when you're trying to set up this identity or coming into a new team, when you look at the preseason and going into the regular season with just the schedule and the type of condensed season that there is? Is there any challenges in that it is maybe a little bit quicker? You're starting on the road, or two games at home, and then you have a long road trip, or is that a good thing?
I think it can be a good thing to get on the road and get together. As a new team, some of these guys, we've got some new players, but new coaching staff. Getting together, getting on the road is never a bad thing. There's challenges. Again, the little bit of the theme throughout training camp is guys are trying to grasp certain situations that they're supposed to be in or we're asking them to do, and things are somewhat different at times. So it definitely is a work in progress. Is there a time frame on that? You'd like it to be as soon as possible, but with the understanding that some of these things do and will take a little bit of time.
Yeah, I think the key thing, one of the things you said is like establishing, different roles and letting the players know that, and how we've watched just, from practices and how detailed things are, and just looking at the ability to stop things or stop a drill when something happens and wanting to explain that, those are some of the little things that we get to see, on a daily basis throughout camp. And, that's what's going to, I think, obviously help build that chemistry, not only with the team, but the players and the coaching staff as well. So from what we've been able to watch, it's been awesome to see.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
And, we certainly... we're certainly going to be better equipped here, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now, in terms of how we play and a full understanding. We just got to continue to get better every day. And, you know, obviously you want it to be as short as possible, but at the end of the day, there isn't anything that's ever finished. You know, there's never a finished product in this game. There's things that keep coming along. You'll be in the middle of December and, you know, there'll be something else that comes along that you have to fix, correct, or, you know, deal with in terms of, you know, making adjustments. So that's the art of coaching and the fun of it.
Yeah, quick on that. As far as the philosophy, and you want to talk about, like, changing things that happen, are you feeling more of the video type, like, from the coaching standpoint? Do you want to see more of that on video, or is it more coaching on ice? Which way, or what's your balance with
skills
that?
Skills work.
Yeah, well, the balance, you know, clearly as training camp, we've had a lot of opportunity to, you know, we do it both through video and on ice. You know, it's important to do it both ways. Certain players are visual learners. Certain players, you know, you can just communicate and they learn. Certain players actually have to see it done or go through it. So you try and do that as much as possible. A little bit easier here in training camp with more practices, but as you get into the season, the condensed schedule and, you know, the fatigue factor, because, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're tired, you know, it does take away from your performance. And so, in keeping that in mind, you know, as we go along, it's a little bit maybe more walkthroughs, morning skates, yeah, things like that, but a little more video as well.
We hear a lot in hockey, obviously, about this new generation of players and how the younger players communicate differently in some ways. What's kind of your approach in that, in relationship building and how you give feedback, or what you kind of notice about that?
Yeah, you know, over the years, I mean, things have changed to a certain degree, but I also really believe, and I'm of the philosophy that, you know, the players and every player that we deal with, I mean, you're always going to have, there's different personalities. You have to figure out what makes them tick and how you can approach them. And, you know, some guys you can maybe be a little harder on than other guys. And at the end of the day, it's just about getting the most or the best out of someone and helping them to become the best they can be, right? So it varies, but it doesn't matter how many years I've been in the game in terms of playing or coaching, players want to learn and they want to be coached. And, you know, that hasn't changed. And so it's just over the years, just maybe a little bit different techniques in doing it.
Yeah. How about your leadership group as well, and how valuable they are, and what goes into the communication between you and your coaching staff, and making sure that the leadership group is on the same page as well right now?
I think a leadership group is critical on every team. And so there is a lot of communications about a lot of different things, you know, certainly with the captains and, you know, and that leadership group. So, you know, they're very valuable. At the end of the day, you want them to take ownership of the team. Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, you guide them as best you possibly can. But once they take ownership, then you really start to flourish.
I've heard really, really positive things before I had met you about you from one Jordan Eberle as well. Obviously, you guys have that shared time with the Islanders. What is he like? What do you like about what he brings as a leader to this group?
Just a true professional. You know, I've watched him training camp. Every day in practice, if he isn't the best player, he's one of the best players. Everything's detailed, you know, and when his teammates see him doing that, that just drags everybody along with him. You know, clearly, we love his talent, we love his abilities, but, you know, from a communication standpoint with me and from a professional standpoint of doing things the right way, he's been outstanding here so far.
I also wanted to ask you about Chandler Stephenson as well. I heard a little story. Actually, I think you initially shared this story in a smaller group about how you remember Stevie when he was like 2 years old.
Yeah, he was a little bit older, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 or whatever. But yeah, he was a neighbor. His parents and I are good, you know, pretty good friends and whatnot, and so they were neighbors, and he was around the neighborhood. you know, with his rubber boots on, and
Is it kind of
tracking
cool?
Mud everywhere.
Is it kind of cool though to have been able to see him literally grow up and grow in this career field, and now you're his coach?
Yeah, it was. It was good. I started my coaching career in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and mm-hmm. he came down as I think he was probably about 10 years old then, and played in a little tournament and went and watched him play then, and you know, and then we went and we're in, you know, in Washington together. And having his parents, out on the ice after that game in Vegas when we won the Stanley Cup was pretty special for everybody. So, all it's telling me is I'm getting old.
So is Stevie. I think he would probably say the same.
There you go. And now I see, you know, the little ones around and stuff. Ford. And so it's time moves on. There's no question about it.
Yeah. That's one of the best things, though, about hockey. I think, you know, everybody will always tell you it's always about the people, you know, and those relationships. So I think that that's a really special little connection that our fans might not know about yet. So
Yeah, I know it is. It is pretty special.
Yeah, at the time of recording this, there's still one preseason game left. But do you think you could walk us and some of the fans through what the process is like, you know, for yourself and management as well when you talk about, you know, the first cuts that go through and then eventually going to get to day one roster? Just kind of what is that like for those who have not been in the room?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll share a little bit, I guess, but certainly there's tough decisions. And with training camp, that's what you, that's what you expect. That's what you hope for. Every player that has come to this training camp has put in all the work all summer long. It's not an easy thing to do to, you know, tell a player that he's maybe going to Coachella Valley or whatever, but, you know, there's different groups too. There's young guys that we know and they know they need to get stronger and they need that seasoning, down in the American Hockey League. And the American Hockey League is a very good hockey league. Yeah. And, it's a man's league as well. So, there's a group of those guys. But when you get into this and you're talking, we have one exhibition game left, which we do tomorrow. It becomes difficult. What you're looking for is you're looking for people. They either play their way on the team or they play their way off the team. And that's just the way it is. There's decisions that have to be made from that standpoint. Certainly we've had an abnormal number of injuries here in training camp, which has sort of hindered a little bit of our evaluation process, but certainly it's given us an opportunity to see more young players than potentially we would have if guys hadn't got hurt. Some of our veteran guys hadn't got hurt. So, there's decisions that are made, and certainly the makeup of the team is important. How does somebody fit into the team? How do they fit into a role? We're looking at, we're looking at the start of the season with two games, and we go on the road. We don't get last change. How does that look? What does that look like? How does matchups look like? So there's all different kinds of things that go into that.
Well, I think it's key. I mean, you talked about the competition. That's what you need. You want the young guys to be pushing the older guys or players who are on the team last year. And, you know, I think the one thing you always have to remember, you know, I've been in those spots as well, mm-hmm. getting, the last cut or, getting to the very end is, a lot of those guys are going to play at some point throughout the season. And it's not necessarily – it's obviously you want to make the team out of camp, but doesn't mean that you're not a part of this team or you're not going to be at some point, and, making sure that they understand that and they go down or wherever they go to put in that work. And, you are one big team, even though you may not be on opening night roster.
You've got it right on. I couldn't have said it better myself. And so, I know some players are super disappointed. They just are, but this isn't, just brush yourself off here and get back at it down there and be the best player down there so that when something happens here and we need somebody, there's one name that comes out of Derek Laxdal's mouth, and that's kind of the message. And the players that, embrace that give themselves the better chance or the best chance. If you, if you feel like you're, maybe deserve to be here and you're not here or whatever it is and you're, you're in a bad headspace, it's not the greatest way to go down there. So it's really about making sure that you have a lot of emotional control.
I got one more hockey question for you before we do a couple of more personal or fun things, perhaps. Fun. But if you could describe what a Lane Lambert coached team should look like when it comes to character, what that identity is, what is that to you?
Well, we're just, you know, we have to be hard to play against. And what does that mean? That means we're detailed, we're structured. You know, there's not a lot of time and space out there, and it's a very good league, and you know, you're going to get isolated sometimes with very good players, and mistakes will happen. But overall, you know, it's a team that is all on the same page, and whether it be in the defensive zone, the offensive zone, we all have a clear understanding of what we want to accomplish. We, you know, we play faster than neutral zone. We clog things up if we don't have the puck. We play well without the puck. So, you know, it's about 20 guys embracing their roles and the way we play hockey.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, on to the fun questions. Yeah.
We made Josh Mahura rank all of JT's favorite candies. We're not at one make point, you do as that. We always tell people, so we're not going to make you do that.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, we've gotten a couple of our days of rain. It looks like it's going to rain throughout the week as well, and going to have to get used to that in Seattle. So, if rainy day, all the work for the next game is done, prep is done. What would be your comfort movie to put on? Like, what's your go-to?
Oh, wow. I like The Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh.
I've seen that movie a number of times. It drives my wife crazy that I rewatch and rewatch and rewatch movies, but I will do that.
That's a great one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it, so probably that one.
Okay.
What kind of music do you like?
I like all music for the most part, but mostly country. Like, if I had to pick one, I guess it would be country, but certainly... my wife and kids have introduced me to all different genres, I guess, of music. What I really like is I just appreciate the talent of musicians. I don't understand how they can write a song. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how they can make things work with each other. It's a true art form, and you know, whether it be, I just watched a documentary on Eminem or whatever. I mean, these guys are just brilliant. They're brilliant, all of them.
When you say country, are you more of like a Garth Brooks country, or do you like that more modern country, or more folky, or just kind
of?
Yeah,
I'm probably more of a Garth Brooks kind of country. Yeah, a little bit, maybe a little bit older country, but you know, there's a lot of good country out these days too. So I'm not that fussy. I went to a Post Malone concert this summer, and he was rocking some country stuff too, right? Yeah. So just the talent level is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I've heard he puts on a great show.
He did.
Yeah.
Not sure how much of the broadcast you have been able to watch in the past, or, you know, obviously you do a lot of video if the commentary is on, but we get a lot of story time with Edzo and John, and I feel like we have to just take it at face.
We sure get a lot of story time with Edzo and John, JT. Yeah.
We take it, you know, at face value, and just kind of want to ask, what was it like, or what was Edzo like when he was playing and when you played against him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a very good player, you know, skilled, highly skilled, and, you know, just, he had a heck of a career, just a talented, talented hockey player. You know, between those two guys, you know, for me anyway, watching broadcasts and things like that, we are so lucky to have those guys.
Oh yes,
it's incredible, actually. They're two of the best.
I did some research, going into this podcast here, going back to December 21st, 1985.
Oh boy.
Chicago versus Detroit. Eddie Olczyk had two power play goals in this game.
Shocker.
Yeah, shocker. Power play goals. He was plus one as well, but you yourself had a goal and were plus one. Unfortunately, the team did not come out with the win. It was 6-3. Not sure if you remember the game, but I had to go do the research. You got on the score sheet. You had a goal. Edzo had two. You guys outshot him 25-18, but ended up taking a 6-3 loss in that game.
Wow. Yeah. No. I don't necessarily totally quote unquote remember, but I will tell you that you know, that was back in the days of the old Chicago Stadium. Now I don't know if we were at Joe Louis or if we were.
Was at the Joe.
It was at the Joe, but both of those buildings were you know, magnificent. We had just moved out of the old Olympia in Detroit a couple of years before that, but those were some good battles in those days with Chicago and Detroit.
I can only imagine.
Yeah,
games, my gosh. Games changed a little bit since then, but we get the story time. We get to talk with that zone.
It's the best time.
All right, so I'm gonna believe the stories now. We have a little bit of we got some confirmation of some of the stories of him out on the ice. So obviously we know Edzo had a great career, but just give him a little it'll bring him down every now and then. I mean, he was on the broadcast last night eating ice cream. So we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good.
You can audibly hear him eating ice cream as well. I will say, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they're very good at what they do. So. The best. Fans are very lucky to have them.
So I have one more for you, just about Seattle in general and your family moving here. What's it been like kind of getting integrated into this community, and just what do you think of the city so far? Have you gotten out and about at all?
Yeah, it's just my wife and I, because all the kids are gone, college and Navy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they're spread out over the country. There's four of them. But, you know, We've enjoyed where we live. We've enjoyed exploring the different areas. And, you know, we've been to sporting events, Mariners games, went to a Seahawks game. You know, next on the list, and I guess by the time this airs, we will have already done that, is whale watching and, you know, some of these different things on days off that we like to get out and try and try and explore and see what the city has to offer. It's a beautiful city. I did not know a lot about Seattle. You know, as a visitor, we just come in, stay downtown, and go to the rink and back, and that was it, and then you're out of here. But certainly it's really got a beautiful feel to it, and you know, we're very fortunate to be here.
Yeah. There's endless things to do in Seattle. If you're ever in the Ballard area, my favorite restaurant is Asadero. It's a little Mexican steakhouse.
Okay.
Mm. So if you're ever in the area,
I haven't been there.
Check it out. It's very good.
Will do.
I like Matador over there. Probably similar. No, it's not a steakhouse. It's just like Tex-Mex. Those steak nachos, though, are so good.
Well, there's plenty. That sounds like you've never had them.
You're not giving me a lot of feedback here.
I've never been there.
What? But,
no.
Okay.
Matador and what?
Asadero.
Asadero. Yeah.
They're both in Ballard.
Okay.
A couple good spots.
Just put it on the list.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. We appreciate your time. And
yeah, no worries. No, I appreciate appreciate you giving me the time, and I look forward to seeing both of you here over the course of the year.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to see what this team can do under you as well. So we're very much looking forward to the year ahead. So thank you so much for your time, Coach.
No worries. Thank you.
All right. Well, a big thank you to Lane for coming in to do this during training camp with us, because he obviously has a lot more important things to do than to spend 30 minutes with the two of us. But I thought it was really nice to just kind of get to hear from him as a person a little bit before we dig into the nitty gritty of the season.
Yeah, you get to see him on the ice, but to be able to sit down, have those conversations, and even just to give the fans some of that insight that, you know, you're not necessarily going to get all the time. And yeah, like you said, just thankful that he was able to come on to the show. Maybe we'll have to have him on again.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, it was great to, we couldn't go too much into what you might be looking for at that point in the season when we were talking with him, but I do think it should be clear from that interview that he means business, and that he is coming in here with a plan and structure. And it seems like to me, from my early conversations with the players, that they are really looking forward to that, and that they have bought in my opinion, from just early projections.
So. That's what makes us the whole preseason and, you know, getting now into the regular season, that it's so exciting, right? We've seen some changes. We're seeing that, and you have that, you just see a little bit of a different vibe of watching the practices, how things go, and you have that optimism of, you know, what this year could bring.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into it. And speaking of optimism, we have an opening night roster with a couple of names on it that I don't want to say were surprises. That's not necessarily the case, but we weren't sure where some of these young players in particular would land. So making the opening night roster, we do have Yanni Newman, Berkeley Catton, and Ryan Winterton. JT, your thoughts when you saw all three of their names?
Well, I mean, just kind of reminded to kind of what Lane had talked about too, about saying like playing your way into a roster spot. And you look at the camp that they have already had, and obviously, I mean, first thing you look at maybe a guy like Yanni Newman and the goals he was able to score, obviously that's going to be an eye opener. That's going to get the coaching staff's attention. You look at a young player too, like Berkeley Cadden, stepping into different roles and, you know, seeing his development and trying to figure out how to play in that NHL game. You see so much skill. You got to see flashes of it. Had a pretty good goal in and of his own right as well. And, you know, Winterton too. I mean, you look at how they were playing and, you know, they meant business out there in the preseason, and you're really going to get that opportunity, right? As a young player, you're trying to figure it out. Obviously, with the Winterton and Newman, they both have already played NHL games, so you've already gotten a little bit of a taste of mm-hmm. what they can bring at that NHL level. You know, as far as Berkeley Cadden coming in from the junior ranks, being 19 years old, we haven't seen that yet. We've gotten to see the preseason and see those flashes. So for me, it's very interesting. I want to see how he, you know, where does he fit into the, first of all, into the roster, you know, what positions and what parts of the game is he going to play in? And, you know, for the other two as well, I mean, we've only got to see a little snippet of both of those players. I believe it's 21 games for Ryan Winterton mm-hmm. in the National Hockey League and then the 12 games for Yanni Newman. So sky's the limit. And, you know, really it's just a great opportunity and getting some new guys, you know, hopefully, you know, their first full year in the National Hockey League.
I want to talk a little bit more about Ryan Winterton, but before that, I wondered if you could touch on maybe the situation that the team and Berkeley Cadden find themselves in with him being 19 and what that kind of means for his possible trajectory.
Yeah, well, a little bit different situation this year than what will come next year, you know, with the new rules that are in place. You're not allowed to send a 19-year-old to the American Hockey League. Mm-hmm. So his options are to stay with the NHL club or to go back down into juniors, where we have seen him dominate. And
not just dominate, capital D dominate. I don't know how many more goals Berkeley Cadden needs to score in the WHL to prove himself. But
so when you look at that, what is more valuable to his development? So you're looking at that as a, you know, a criteria. I think when you look at the Kraken roster as well, and you do end up getting an injury to Kapo as well. So does that open a new spot where maybe he can get some more of those top 6 minutes? How does it fit in? We still are yet to see exactly how Lane is going to deploy mm-hmm. the roster that we have. We know the 23-man list. But the other option, too, is he does have it's 9 games. If he plays in the 10th game, Berkeley, you know, at that age, then the full contract will be there or be burned, or his year will be used no matter what happens the rest of the way. So he can play 9. They could send him back down at that point. We obviously don't know. We're not at that spot mm-hmm. yet. But, you know, there are options. But, you know, from a starting on the roster standpoint, it was either the NHL or the WHL or juniors for him. But that, I think that does, you know, you have to look at that. What's going to help his development even more? And whether that's, you know, is he playing every game? Is that just practicing with the NHL players and just getting a use to the NHL game? How many games does he get in off the first, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's the starting game or it's on the road trip? We don't know those things, but there are some nuances, you know, when you are 19, just from the standpoint of you don't have the option to go to the American Hockey League. Now, next year, they will be able to send, you know, one 19-year-old down to the American Hockey mm-hmm. League. That is not this year, yep. So they just don't have that option. But who knows? Even if it was an option, they still may want him on the NHL roster anyways, but just clarifying that that's not an option here in this year.
Yeah, and I think it's important to clarify that for people too. So technically, like JT said, they can't have him play 9 games and then send him to juniors without burning that first year of his ELC, his entry-level contract. So how they spread them out, it's the same situation that Shane Wright was in and that the team was in with Shane Wright. But Shane ended up having a crazy year that year with some injuries and World Juniors and then turning 20.
The hope, obviously, you're keeping him on the roster. The hope for everyone involved is that he plays all the games, right? Yeah. Like he gets past the 10 games and it's not even an option. So just laying out the groundwork of what are the possibilities.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about these other kids though, particularly Ryan Winterton. We got a look at practice today at what the Kraken's line combinations could look like. Obviously very subject to change, especially early in the season. Correct. As you're kind of trying to find some chemistry and find what works there. But Ryan Winterton, it appears, playing on the second line with Chandler Stephenson and newcomer Mason Marchment.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity. You're looking at two established, you know, NHL players in the middle, then on the left side as well. And, you know, I think he can bring some of the speed and getting in on the forecheck. We've seen him do that in his time with the Kraken and also throughout the preseason as well, and just try to be relentless on the forecheck. And, you know, a guy like him, he's shown that he can score at the American Hockey League level as well. Hasn't quite found that at the NHL level, but playing with some, I mean, there's some talented players playing with him on the middle and on the left. So I think it's a really, really good opportunity for him to showcase, you know, what he has, what kind of player he can be at the National Hockey League level. I think when we look back at him coming up and playing those games, you know, toward the end of the season, getting into more of a fourth line role, more of sometimes moving up to the third and moving around a bit, but more seeing him in a bottom six position versus top six. Obviously, I think you could argue around, but I would say second just from my perspective.
Yeah. And most what line is the second line? What line is the third line?
And how it gets written on the board, I don't know. But just looking through, you know, I would say, hey, that's second line. And again, it's a great opportunity, and he's earned it, right? He's gone out there, he's shown what he has, and he's made this team, and he gets a real good look with some really good players. So again, you hope for the best. You want to see, you know, every player do well, and especially when you get that opportunity. You wait for that for so long, or I guess maybe not wait's probably not the right word. You work for it,
yeah.
For a long time, and you just want to see players succeed when they do get that opportunity.
Yeah, I was just down in the locker room talking with him about it, and I asked him, you know, what was the moment like when they told you, and you could tell it actually genuinely meant a lot to him. Like, he had a big smile on his face. And I also asked him, I was like, what are the aspects of your game that you're really focusing on and that the coaching staff and management are asking you to focus on if this is the role that you're going to be playing with Stevie and Marchment right there? Like, what is that? And he said, well, I definitely think it's a defensive focus for sure. Yeah. And he's like, and I obviously want to be on the offensive side of the game, but that's been a little bit of the message is that I have to be paying attention to those details defensively, which I think that's a great thing to hear from a young player. The first thing out, and a particularly a player that we've seen, you know, the roles that he has, you know, worked in and such. So, and then obviously penalty killing, he talked about that. And then I also liked, he said, I'm trying to be a little bit more of a bug, a little bit more of a bug on the ice too. I think the word we typically hear is pest, I like that, a little bit of a bug.
No, I think that's fair. And, you know, when you look at that line, and especially with Stevie in center, and you have to expect that they're going to get a lot of the team's top lines and putting him out there. Stevie's excellent in the defensive side, obviously great offensively too, but it's about gaining the trust and getting to be out in those situations and playing against top teams, and responsibility is perfect, right? You have to earn that, and you have to show the coaches that you can do this consistently. And that's for everyone, right? You do have a new coaching staff, and just trying to find, you know, lines that mesh well together. But also when you're looking at, you know, potential of who's going to go out against who, you have to think that that line's going to get a lot of the top, top lines on the other teams going forward.
Definitely. And then, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but it looked like Yanni Newman then is on the fourth line on the wing there next to Freddie Gaudreau and Ty Cartier. Granted, if Berkeley Catton is getting in to the game, it's probably in this spot or in Ryan Winterton's spot, I would imagine. We'll see. But just kind of your thoughts on the camp that Yanni Newman had and what being on the fourth line potentially like means for him and what we should be looking for from him.
Yeah, first for the Berkeley side of things, and throughout practice, this has been rotating in and going through, and obviously we know his skill level. He can score at this at the National Hockey League level. We've seen him in practice. We see what he can do, and obviously we'll see how that shakes out and where it goes through. But just through the basis of lines, if you do have Yanni on that fourth line with Gaudreau and Cartier, and I think one of the Kraken's biggest successes has been through balanced scoring, right? And you need to have the ability to score not only just your first line, just your second line in those top six. When you find team success, it's usually through having balance. Now, obviously, yes, teams do have, you know, one guy maybe that's getting, you know, you look at the top of the league, you look at McDavid, and you look at, you know, the McKinnons of the world, and yes, those guys are going to really skew the balance of where points and where the goals come from on a team. But for the most part, when you want to find success, or if you're building for that success, you want to have a balanced approach. You want to be able to send all four lines out and not only, like you said, trust the defensive side and be responsible, but find a way to get a score of goals. And you look back to the Kraken's big run when you ended up losing. I mean, they were a 5-on-5 team that could score – first line, second line, third line, fourth line.
Unfortunately, 220 goal scorers on that fourth line the year they went to the playoffs.
Unfortunately, end up losing the game seven. But at the end of the day, what drove them wasn't a single player. It wasn't a single star. What drove that team was that they could find scoring at any moment, at any time. They didn't necessarily have to be on the power play. They could just go out five on five, work hard, forecheck, and score. And I think for the most part, you're going to have to find success in a similar way. And just based on how the team has practiced, how they played, they're working on being a much harder team to play against. And if they can find that balance, and I think Yanni Newman will help that. Mm-hmm. They do have Gaudreau, who is a utility knife as well down there.
18 goals last year with the Minnesota Wild playing on the fourth line.
So if you can get more scoring, you know, top to bottom, that's only going to help you. You look at the points that they have to make up essentially from last year to get into the playoffs. You're going to have to find a way to score a couple more goals in a couple of these games. And, you know, that's the difference between maybe walking out of there with an extra point or actually just getting 2 points. And now you start adding those up. It can get up to that 20-point mark, which they missed the playoffs by pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. So one of the other big, I think, storylines or things that are going to jump out to fans when they see the opening night roster is the fact that the Kraken look to be carrying three goalies this season. Yeah. Somewhat unique, and I don't think this is necessarily a surprise to you or I based on what we saw, but what does that kind of mean for this team, and how does it put them in a position to hope they're the best position, hopefully, to win?
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't see every year or, you know, very often, but it's not unheard of. We saw it was 2 years ago, I believe, with Montreal that ended up carrying three goalies for a vast majority of the season. And, you know, I think this year might be a little bit different just with the schedule and, you know, thinking of that. And obviously you have Joey, who I'm, you know, you look at what he was able to do last year, set himself a career record when it comes to games played and coming to wins and, you know, really establishing himself in that number one spot. And you bring in a veteran alongside Grubauer with Matt Murray coming into the fold. And again, you're going to give him the opportunity, right? Obviously we don't know how we can pretty much know the two goalie rotation on how usually it works out, you know, give or take a game or two here of where they're going to play. We don't know how it's going to shake out, but I do think it does give you the option, A, with a tighter schedule, if someone's tired, even just looking at practice schedule, you know, if a goalie, maybe they need a day off after Joey gets tired or however the rotation ends up working, and then you have them out there. So there can be some advantages to it. Obviously, I mean, you look at maybe a negative would say, which one of the goalies, how are they going to play? Are they going to split the backup role evenly?
What happens if somebody gets hot? You got to ride them. And then how long does the other guy sit? Like, yeah.
So there are questions on how it's going to be. I mean, I think time is going to be the ultimate tell of how this is going to work out for the Kraken. But from the onset, you do see positives of how this can work out. And, you know, just from the preseason, I think all three goalies ended up playing very well. I mean, Joey was a little critical on our broadcast of his first game being a little bit rusty. I didn't necessarily see it that way, but, you know, going out into the next games as well, playing, he played well. Same thing you could say with Grubauer and Murray as well. So right now it looks like you have three goalies that are, you know, when I look at goaltending, it's hard because I'm not necessarily the goalie expert when it comes to it,
Lexi plays goalie, so
I would say I look at it from a standpoint of each time you go out in the game, does your goalie give you a chance to win? And that's what you're asking for, right? You can't always control whether or not, I mean, there's games where, you know, last year you look at a goaltender and they only give up one, maybe two goals, and it's like you still had an opportunity to win, they just didn't score enough. So you can look at their performances and just say, did they give us a real opportunity to win? And now, you know, from what we've seen in preseason, it looks like they're going into the season with three goaltenders that are going to give them an opportunity every single night.
Yeah, which could be huge for this team. I think that it's obviously very much on purpose and it's been intentional. So that's going to be, I think, one of the most interesting storylines for fans to kind of keep an eye on this year. And I know we'll be
for us too. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Speaking of things that you might want to be keeping an eye on, I thought it'd be fun to just know if there's a particular player that JT Brown is interested in watching this season.
You know, I think going into the season for me, I was really looking at Kaapo and trying to see what he was going to do in a Kraken sweater for the entirety, right? We got to see, you know, coming over from New York and needing a change of scenery and how well he ended up playing for the Kraken in the 49 games. He had the 10 goals, 20 assists, 30 points, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, can he just double that, right? Like, that would be, you know, let's just project it out. What is he going to have? And I know that the math doesn't always really work that way, right? So for me, I really wanted to see what he does. Obviously, with the injury, that's going to, I mean, it's going to delay his start of the season for starters. So switching my thought then is looking at Tolvanen. When you look at
a fellow Finn.
Yeah, when you look at Tolvanen and what he was able to do last year, we've looked at lines, we look at how practice got, and just through practice, you know, getting some looks on the power play as well, in the shooter position, can he jump to 30 goals from 23? I think that is well within reason. But I thought, you know, just from him, I love the way he plays the game. Just the physicality, led the team in hits last year. You look at the goal production, you know, majority is at 5-on-5. I just think that he's poised to have a good year. Yes, there's some pressure, obviously, when you're looking to get another contract, right? I think you put a lot of pressure on yourself. But I think, you know, the way he plays just gets him into good positions to obviously, you know, succeed. And again, he doesn't rely just on goal scoring. He can be a factor everywhere on the ice. But I do think that when I look at a player or look at who might make that next jump or make a bigger jump, and I think, you know, he has a very good possibility to do that.
I agree. I completely agree. We're aligned on that. My other one would be Shane Wright too. I don't necessarily have a prediction that he will, because he actually did really have a solid season last year. He led the team in power play goals. And I think that if he can take another step that we're hoping that he can take, and if Tolvi is having that kind of season, because it looks like as of now they're playing next to each other, again, completely subject to change, will change, I'm sure, throughout the season. But that makes me feel optimistic for Shane Wright having another good year too. So he's one that I'm keeping an eye on as well.
Yeah, no, just another year of, you know, when you get into playing those games, right? He's going in to get fresh, obviously had a great season, and we know how he likes to work and get himself ready for the next season and how focused he is in on hockey. And I think that, again, just with his not only just passion for the game, his work ethic throughout the off season, through the regular season as well, you're constantly seeing him out after practice, shooting pucks, working on faceoffs. You know, he's poised to take another step. And, you know, what that step is, don't know where. You're going to say 30. It's definitely possible. Does he get to 25? Where does the points end? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think his impact, regardless of what his point total ends up being throughout this season or the goal total, I think his impact, you know, just from situations is going to be even bigger this year.
Yeah, I agree. We just got a couple of more things here that we want to hit on. Producer Drew, I was going to inquire with you if you had any questions about the season ahead for us at all that you were curious about.
I was just curious about, now that we have the roster, looking at our first couple matchups, what sticks out to you compared to the teams we'll be playing? Is there anything that we like to see with our a little bit deeper lines? I mean, we'll might have to wait and see after the first couple of games, but what about matchups?
JT, do you want to start with this one?
Yeah, I can start. I think you look at the first game, you're looking at Anaheim and where they were last year, where the Kraken were last year. I think that Anaheim is going to be a better team as well. I think that the Kraken are also going to be a better team as well, but both towards the bottom of the Pacific Division. There's always been tough games with Anaheim and just how the team plays. They do have a lot of skill over there as well. So I think you get to line yourself up against a team that you were fairly comparable to last season, now thinking that both teams are going to be better. Obviously, it's game one, right? It's still a work in progress. Nothing is perfect, but you do get to see where you're at. And I think the second game, and even more, a bigger test, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Vegas.
A measuring stick a bit.
You look at Vegas and where they consistently have been finishing, how they've been playing. They have a great team. Obviously, you look at the big pickup getting Marner, you know, and look at their depth chart of four lines, six defensemen. And
who's are you guys really working with the same salary cap as the rest of us? We all are working with that? No, just kidding.
So you go through that, and again, you get to test yourself with, you know, arguably going to be one of the best teams in not only the NHL, but your division as well. You're going to have to play those games tough, right? And you have to find a way to get points to get, especially against the division, you know, and how it's going to go. Obviously, like I said, it's still very early in those first two games, but I think you have two different types of measuring sticks for this team and where they can go, you know, facing those two opponents.
Yeah, and then I would say with the road trip as well, it's a mix of kind of different tests in there too. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but this team didn't really get a lot of time with their main players healthy in camp. So Jared McCann and Chandler Stevenson and Brandon Montour, and then Stevie was like in and out a little bit in camp. But to see the kind of step that special teams takes, that's something that I'm interested in for sure, in particularly the first two games and then the road trip. But like, you've got a Montreal in there. That's a different kind of test than Toronto. You've got Philly in there. That's a different kind of test. You also have a back-to-back, which, as we heard Coach Lambert talk about, we know that this team knows that they have to be better on back-to-backs this year. So I guess I think that it's going to be a challenge, but it's a good mix of challenges and of different kinds of teams and different ways that you would have to win. I mean, that's every night in the National Hockey League. You have to be able to win in a different way. But those matchups in particular, I do think are interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like, this is a sport. You can look at the rosters and you can go line by line and say, this player, oh, do we pair it to that one? But at the end of the day, you have to go play the game. Like, this is truly a sport that anybody can beat anybody.
You got to have the
any,
will.
Yes, on any given night. It does not matter. You could be the first place team in the league playing the last place team in the league. It is a competition-driven league. Like, it is still a fact that anyone can truly win. And maybe, I mean, all sports truly can win at any given moment, right? But I feel like hockey, it happens a lot more than a lot of the other sports where, you know, a team that you, hey, we look at paper, well, they should win, but they don't, right? Or that's the type of situation, which I think makes hockey so much more interesting. And again, you got to go out. It's a game of emotion, as John likes to say. How do you, when you have the momentum, how do you keep it? And if the other team has it, how do you get it back? As Edzo would say. And that's all this game is. It's a game of mistakes. And again, we can look at the roster and we say all these things, but I think when we go out, we'll start seeing as the games start being played, you know, especially from a Kraken perspective, what are they working with this year, right?
Definitely. Yeah. All right. Just a couple more things. The first Kraken Common Thread Night of the year is coming in early. It's coming in hot, and it is Hispanic Heritage Night presented by Modelo. That is on October 28th, and there is a variety of kind of community programming going around or going along with the game night, as always, including we are having a public skate here at the Kraken Community Iceplex on October 12th. That is happening at 4:20 p.m. That's a Sunday. So let's see you there for that. Okay, JT's got the jersey here. Designed by the artist Esmeralda Vasquez. Hopefully that is how you pronounce her last name there. But yeah, it's beautiful. Your thoughts? Mr. Brown?
I had to grab the mic. I was holding the jersey. No, I think it's amazing. They always do a great job with the Common Thread jerseys. And I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for these artists to show their expression. And for me, the thing that steps out for me, obviously, you look at the front of the logo, but I love the lime green and the red on the back with the Kraken here. Obviously, it would be players' names when they go out. But no, I think they did a fantastic job, and I just can't wait to see, you know, the rest of them in person.
So obviously the One Roof Foundation auctions off the team signed jerseys for the Common Thread, like the specialty jerseys. And for this night, a portion of those anchor auction funds are going to go to benefit El Centro de La Raza. So that's just awesome. I know that they always want to give back to the community on these nights that are honoring the various communities here in Seattle. So, and then also, if you do purchase a ticket to the game through the special Common Thread Night ticket special, then also a portion of that ticket purchase goes to El Centro de La Raza as well. So good stuff. Yeah, I'm excited for our first Common Thread Night. There's always so much fun programming and the special designs and the boards and the arena on those nights. So it's a fun little mix.
Well, they're always fantastic.
Yeah. All right, October 28th. We will see you there. Climate Pledge Arena, be there, be square. And then we also, what?
Just don't know if everyone's going to get the reference.
Be there, be square.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, people just say that, right?
Well, somebody else says it.
John?
No.
Edzo?
SpongeBob.
Oh, I know that. Is that where it's from?
I don't know if it's from there, but that's the first thing I thought of when it goes
through.
So I don't know if everybody.
I thought SpongeBob got it from somebody.
I'm sure they did. Somebody tweet me. Yeah.
Or is tweet it us.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, don't X us. Just tweet us. I don't know. Sounds like we're getting canceled if you X us. All right. We have a little piece of fashion news as well, because as you all know, JT and I, we dabble.
Try.
We dabble. Yeah. We dabble in the trends. And very exciting collaboration here. I know that, well, first of all, I know that Joey Decord has been all over this for months, because back in August when we were in Boston with him, he was already telling us about it. But the Seattle Kraken and Brooks Running have unveiled their first merchandise collaboration, and it is the Kraken-themed Ghost 17 shoe. JT's holding it up here. Will you give us a verbal description for those who are not watching us on YouTube?
Well, there's blue.
Oh.
White.
Okay.
A little bit of red. light blue as well. Okay. There is a anchor logo on the heel. No, I'm just kidding. Those are the colors. It is a really cool shoe, to be honest with you. And I have a pair, but I'm like afraid to wear them because they're so nice. I do not want to get them dirty. I'm sure at some point they will be broken out of the box, but it's definitely Kraken themed. Beyond just having the anchor logo on the heel of the shoe, you can see the subtleties within this shoe that definitely scream Seattle Kraken. And to me, it's a fantastic job. However they came up with this design. Oh, I forgot. I didn't even see that. There is a Seattle Kraken logo on the inside as well, the insole.
In the
so again, I think this is, especially if you're into running, you're into comfort as well.
Mm-hmm.
These are going to be fantastic. I think we're going to see a lot of these at the games, you know, coming up. I was told that they did sell out on the Kraken website in an hour.
Holy.
So the demand for this shoe is pretty spectacular.
It's
still
ghostly.
Yeah, still on the
elusive
the Brooks Running website to be able to purchase them. I believe they will be in the lair at the Kraken team store during the home games. I'm assuming the supplies last, but there are still ways to pick up the shoe if you haven't yet. And like I said, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of these, not only in the games, but you know, just walking around town too.
Yeah, I'm sure that people will see us walking around Disneyland in them as well. So yeah,
that I may break them out for Disneyland. Yeah. I think that would be a perfect time for the 15 to 20 miles that we end up walking.
I have a white pair of Brooks that I absolutely love, but white shoes, it's just so dangerous, but they look so nice.
Yeah, dark blue is the main color for those who are just listening to this. Obviously, a little different than all white, but no, they are
like
a cool looking shoe. I will say that.
Yeah. Very exciting. All right. Well, shout out Brooks, the Ghost 17. Get your Kraken sneakers today if you can. I mean, that might be hard to come by, but very exciting. All right, anything else, JT, that you want to touch on before we wrap? At the time that we're recording this, we haven't even played the first game, but at the time you're listening to it, that Ducks game is already done. So I just feel like we're ready to go.
Yeah.
We're ready to play, even though we don't play.
100%. Well. I feel like when we have all summer, right, and you're going through, and then preseason, now preseason is over. Like, now it's the real deal. We're right here. We're ready and looking forward not only to the first regular season game, getting ready to go to the road trip, but also, you know, for the next podcast as well. We're going to have a lot more to talk about when the next one does come up. So 2 weeks from the time you're hearing this one come out. So definitely going to be a lot more Kraken news for us to go dive into, and non-Kraken news as well.
Yeah. All right. Great potting with you, JT.
Always is.
Drew, thank you.